Praise God for His grace and mercies upon us, for His help through the Spirit every single day to help us get through, and God just takes care of us all the time. Let's keep our focus on God. Amen? We have a little question as far as leadership. When COVID struck, we went into the lockdown and all that, and then we changed the way we did communion and whatnot, and we went to the two-cup system. And we used to have the bread tray and then the cups. Now we're doing a little wafer in one cup and the juice in the other. If you would be opposed to going back to the bread in the tray loose and then having your cup of juice, please let the leadership know. If you are opposed to going back to the old system, if you want to continue the way we're doing it with two cups, let us know you want to continue to do it that way. The reason we're asking is we're always trying to pinch pennies. And so we've doubled our cup usage. And so we're just trying to figure out if you're uncomfortable with going back to reaching into a tray where everybody else is reaching into the same tray, getting a piece of bread, then we want to know about it. Okay. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. How many of you watched the Super Bowl about a month ago? Quite a few, most of you. Yeah, that was quite a showdown, wasn't it? All two powerful teams working to try to outwit each other, outblock each other, outpass each other, outrush each other, tackle each other, just to try to win to become number one in position. And so everybody was out there doing their own thing, right? No, they were working plans and plays that they had worked on quite extensively. They had worked on those hundreds of times, probably. It was not a free-for-all. It was planned executions for the most part. Yeah, there were times when things happened that you didn't know how to quite handle. But for the most part, they were working on the plans and the skills and these plays in order to achieve the victory over the other team. Some of you are interested in the sport of boxing. And we just happen to have a family here that is highly involved in the act of boxing, the sport of boxing. Is boxing just throwing punches? Not at all. You also have to be involved with your whole body in split-second decisions. You have to be deflecting, dodging, advancing, or retreating, twisting, tricking, protecting, wearing down, enduring, and much more as you are trying to achieve the victory. So it's not just going out there and saying, boom, boom, I'm done, because you might get a boom, boom right back. God uses the body as an example for us to look at regarding His plan for the church, for all of us to surrender our will and be transformed into the likeness of Christ and to be included in His spiritual body. He turns to our physical body and how the physical body reacts. We are included in the plan of God when we commit to Jesus Christ. Back in chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talked about us using the example of grafting branches into a tree or a bush to become part of that and to produce the fruit that is expected. Now we see that the Scripture talks about us as a body. We are members one of another. The big question is, are we acting like the body God wants us to act like? Are we living as the body of Christ? Are we members of one another, depending on each other, helping each other, aware of each other's needs? That question is addressed in our text. Yes, we are going right back to the passage that we've covered the last 2 weeks, Romans chapter 12, but specifically we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Come back and join me as we read this passage. This is the New American Standard Translation. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Before we go any further, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for grace and mercies through Jesus Christ. We thank you for being accepted into your family, into your body. Father, help us as we go through this transformation process that it would not stop, that we would continue to grow and mature in your likeness, becoming more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ in all of the various aspects of purity, of holiness, of righteousness in everything. And Father, we thank you that you are gracious and patient with us. Continue to work with us as we review these verses and what you are saying. Help us to examine our own hearts, our own lives, and see where we might improve, where we might need to totally change our actions, our attitudes, our lifestyle, whatever it may be, in order to please and honor you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, we return to this text because of the importance and the specific truth of verse 5. The NIV uses this phrase, "Each member belongs to all the others." Now, that's an interesting interpretation. Do you consider yourself as belonging to the people sitting next to you? Or do you think of yourself as, I'm my own person, I'm going to do things my way, I don't care what anybody else thinks? Seriously, think about it. Because we're living in a culture that really promotes individualism, selfishness, serving myself first. And we find a totally different attitude presented from Christ. From the moment of our very first breath, by the way, some of you, most of you know already, I'm a new grandpa. Got a new granddaughter. On the 29th, at the 10th hour of the night. We're so proud to have a new little granddaughter, Josie. And in a couple weeks, we're going to go up and see Josie and the rest of the family. But think about it, a baby. A baby is out there with a towel on their hand and with a glass of water in their hand walking up to you and saying, "Here, I'm here to serve you." Is that the way they are? No, they're demanding attention. When they get hungry, when they need a diaper change, when things aren't going right, they are screaming, they are crying for attention. And it just changes overnight, just like that, right? No. As you know, those of you who have raised children, it takes a while. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of reminding that we're here to help each other, to work along with the people around us, because our fallen nature screams for me, serve me. We want things to go my way. And our society promotes the same thing. Our fallen sinful desire is to serve me first. Helping others requires a change of heart, a change of the way we think. The transformation that was described in the first two verses. And only Jesus can do that purely and completely. Jesus was quizzed as to what the greatest commandment of God was, and he quickly requoted to the people, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5. What is it about? Loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your entire being. And then he didn't ask them or wait for a second question. He offered the information freely from Leviticus chapter 19. He said, the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the golden rule all about? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others the way you like to be treated. To think about them just as you think about yourself. Jesus commands his disciples to love one another. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and chapter 15, Jesus uses this phrase four times. It's used 16 times in the New Testament. Is loving one another important? Yes. But how do we love one another? Well, there's several other illustrations using one another throughout the New Testament. And here in the 12th chapter of Romans, four different examples of one another's are used. Four of them. And we've just read one of those. That we are what? Members of one another. So what is this all about? How do we become members of one another? First of all, we need to remember that Christ is the one head of the entire church body. Jesus Christ is the lead. He is the boss. He is the leader. He is the master. He is the Lord. Not us. Not any person. Only Jesus. Jesus was given and he claimed to have all authority over everything, but especially over his body, the church. He claimed it. And it belongs to him. Do you think he's going to let go of that? No. And we need to learn to submit to his lead, listening to his directions. His words must be obeyed if we want to have life. Healthy bodies follow the directions from the head. I don't know if this is politically correct, but the phrase I learned when I was growing up, If a person's body is not reacting properly to the signals from the brain, they have spastic reactions. They're out of control. They have flinches. They can't control parts of their body because the signals are getting mixed up, right? Is that the way God wants us as a church family to be? To be, I use this term spastic, to be just scatterbrained or just doing whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. No, God wants us to be organized and functioning in a united, working, one body, not a disoriented, confused body. Verse 3 warns us to not think too highly of ourselves. We are to, you know, we're just one part of the entire body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 also addresses the fact that all of us are to obey our one Lord, not any other teaching, not to get the world philosophies mixed in with Christianity. And unfortunately, there are a lot of churches that are doing that. If you ever see us doing that, please let us know. Because we need to stay true to the one Master, Jesus Christ. to His teachings. Now, if Jesus does not address certain things, we are allowed the freedom to have our opinions, but not to teach them as a mandate. But when Jesus speaks up, we must follow His teaching because He is the Lord. Ephesians 4. We need to put that into practice along with His passage addressing the fact that we are to obey His teachings and to work together. Unfortunately, we have things that work against us. Our finances, the teachings of science, different fads and different feelings, and the list goes on, are all kinds of things that Satan uses to suck us away from believing everything that Jesus said, everything that the Bible says. Today we have science that refuses to acknowledge God, and it's forced in our classrooms that all of this universe happened by accident, by pure accident, by chance. What does our scripture tell us? In 6 days, God created everything. It was all by His design. Which are we going to believe? The mass, huge number of scientists that say, oh no, we're all just here by accident. Or are we going to accept the few scientists that believe the Word of God and God's Word and Jesus, who performed miracles as evidence before the very eyes of His followers? I choose Jesus. I choose the Scripture because there I am promised eternity. Our money, fads, popular opinion, all kinds of things are working against us to draw us away from the lordship of Jesus, the truth of God. And we need to be careful. The body of Christ is God's marvelous creation. It is not an accident. It is not just a piece of flesh that we can do anything with. We are each created by God, given life by God to be His people. God did this marvelous thing. He took a lump of clay and did what? Breathed life into it and called him Adam. And then took a rib from that one first creator and made a wife, and Eve. And from that couple, all of us are the result. We have been granted the Spirit of God. We have been granted God's breath to live within us through submission to Jesus Christ. And that's described back in Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8. When we gave our life to Jesus, God gave us extra help, the Spirit. Our purpose is designed by God to help the entire body. The multiple parts and the multiple systems of a physical body work together to help, to grow, to protect, to sustain, to heal it, and so much more. And every part receives their directions from where? From the brain. Likewise, every Christian must be reading our scriptures. We need to be studying our scriptures. We need to be praying in communication with the headquarters. We need to be learning the ways of God, how to serve Him, and working together side by side, helping each other, just as the body works together. Romans chapter 11 warned us, God is the one who joined us to the body, and He is also the one who can do what? Separate us from the body if we are not following directions. So that's very important. Let's stay connected with the Master, learning God's ways, and continuing to grow as He wants us to grow. The second point I've brought out of this is that Christ's body has thousands of working members. Wouldn't it be neat to have thousands of people in here right now? It would be. But remember, we're not the only believers. There are thousands of believers scattered across this state, not let alone the city, but across the state, the nation, and the world. We're not alone. God is working His plan through all of us. Some members are seeing clearly as they work. You know, there are certain ones that just stand out like kind of a flashing light. They're very exuberant and they gain attention by what they're doing. They are clearly seen at work doing the things of God. It's kind of like your fingers and your hands. They can be used for both the delicate, intricate work or the hard, muscular lifting and the gripping and the pounding. Do you consider yourself to be a finger or an arm or a hand doing the will of God? Christ is using some of you in that gentle work, that intricate work of caring for other people, of dealing with things that are, you have to deal with them very carefully to help the other individual. And then there's other individuals who are out there in the front leading in pounding the pulpit, if you would, letting the world know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, out in the forefront of crowds, kind of doing what I'm doing. The speakers who are willing to go out there, people who are willing to go out on the street and talk to individuals on the street and face total strangers and share the gospel with them. Some of you are legs and feet. What do legs and feet do? They help us walk, run, lift, push, and back up or go forward. Christ has called some of you to be the church legs. You are the ones who are helping the church move and do what it needs to do. Just make sure you're following the directions from the Master and going the direction Jesus wants us to go. Not your will, but His will. Other members of the body are unseen. They're working inside the body, but they're just as important. I wasn't too much on anatomy, but I understand that there's about 200 separate bones functioning inside of our body, supporting, protecting. They're part of our framework, and they are also producing things with inside themselves, as well as acting as passageways for sending the messages, the nerves. Some of our nerves run through the bones for the protection they need. Many of you serve in the same manner just described. Just as some bones have many functions, Jesus Christ gave some of you several gifts, and you are functioning to help protect the church, or getting messages to where they need to go, or producing better things to help the body. Our bodies have 640 muscles. I didn't know that. 640 different muscles in our body, all doing different things. Some of them are very powerful, some are very weak, but they are all important. Some of you are like the voluntary muscles. You're waiting for a signal. You're waiting to go lift something or to set something down or to reach out and grab. Most of those muscles have multiple strands pulling side by side, working together in obedience to the commands of the Master. Some are very powerful, deal with great weight. Others are very weak, but they are important. Aren't you glad that your muscles work for your eyelids? But would you want your eyelid muscles to go lift up 100-pound weight? No, you depend on other muscles for that function. Some believers are like the involuntary muscles, although that name is kind of misleading. Are you an involuntary Christian? That's not what I'm saying. Some people are like the involuntary muscles that just automatically do what is necessary, no matter what happens. How many of you are telling your heart, beat, don't be. Beat, don't be. Beat, don't be. No, your heart acts automatically, no matter what you're thinking. Your breathing is happening automatically in spite of what you think. Now, you can override your breathing, but it happens automatically, involuntary reactions. They do what's needed, no matter what the circumstances may come. It's kind of like the Eveready batteries. They just keep going and going and going. Amen? Some of you are transformed into the Christ likeness so that you do the Lord's work without somebody coming up and saying, I need you to do this. You see what needs to be done and you just step in and start doing it automatically. Involuntarily, from the perspective of somebody giving you a command. Like the heart, you keep pumping life into your fellow members so that they can function. You digest and spread the right nutrients of Christ to your brethren. You keep working when the body seems asleep or lifeless. And that is important. Keep doing those things. Every part of Christ's body depends upon the rest of the body doing their functions. The unity of all the parts make a healthy body. The unity of all of us working together makes us a healthy body. We've all probably experienced a sliver or a small cut, and sometimes those slivers and small cuts stops us for a moment. They hinder us for a moment. However, some of you have suffered broken bones, gallstones, cancer, or something else more serious. And if you don't deal with those things, what can happen? It can totally disable a body. Sin that's not addressed can become a big problem in the church. Now, I'm not accusing anybody today of this, but I'm just asking you to consider. Are you harboring some sin in your life that is hurting the rest of the church body? That is a cancer that is unaddressed. You know, and God knows. I don't know what it is. I'm not accusing any of you. I'm dealing with some sin in my own life that I am, with the help of God, cleaning up, letting the power of the Holy Spirit get my mind on the things I should be thinking about and not the sinful things of the world. Our blood delivers life to the body and carries the waste away. The blood of Christ delivers salvation to us, and it is also able to carry away our sin if we release it to Him, if we confess our sin. And some people refuse to confess their sin. That becomes a cancer. That becomes a hindrance to the working function of the body. Christ cannot work through you fully if you refuse to acknowledge where you are sinning. God wants us to confess our sin. He wants us to have life and the blessings that He has prepared for us. But we must confess our sin to the great healer of our soul. He can then share His healing with us and make us stronger and better in the service of the body. Those who do not confess their sins to each other become a hindrance and a delay in the functioning of the body. And does God want that? No, God does not want that. God wants us to enjoy the blessings He has prepared for us. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our secret sins poison the rest of the body. And we need to get rid of that poison. I need to get rid of my poison. You need to get rid of your poison so that we can be the most effective servants of God as this functioning body in this neighborhood. The rest of the body needs you to be healthy. You need me to be healthy so we can all serve our Master together. So please, if you are guilty, confess your sin. Get it straight with Christ. Multiple parts of the body must work in the power, the proper order. I've learned that the giraffe, because he's so tall, God designed in the giraffe valves in his arteries so that when his long neck bows down to get a drink of water, all the blood doesn't rush to his head. These valves close and keep the blood from rushing to the giraffe's head. Can you see a giraffe just bending over and his head explode? I mean, you're talking about 20 feet tall. Coming down, if he comes down too fast, he'd pass out or die from a brain hemorrhage. And then as he lifts his head back up, those valves open back up and allow the blood to flow back to his head the way it was designed. It's an amazing thing. How many of you, when you're sitting at a dinner table, you reach out and you pick up a fork and you dive into this plate in front of you, pick up some food, you manage to get it on that fork and balance it, and what happens? Automatically, the mouth flies open. Start counting how many functions are at work. The grasping, the holding, the bending, the muscles involved there, the muscles involved in opening your mouth. And what else is happening? I got this wet stuff that starts showing up in my mouth. Saliva. It says, oh boy, it's chow time. And the saliva just starts flowing. And pretty soon I'm drowning in saliva unless I get some food in there to mix up. And then all the muscles that are involved in swallowing, all this process just for one bite. Just one bite. We are the body of Christ doing what? Reaching out to the community with the message of Jesus Christ. It takes all of us working together, speaking the gospel, sharing the love of Christ to bring them in the loving arms of God. It takes all of us. We are members of one another. We need each other. You need the rest of the people around you. I need you. You need me. Christ wants us to be part of His body, to work together. All the parts of the body are dependent upon all of the other parts doing their jobs. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 and following discusses some of those jobs. Have you ever tried to unscrew the lid off of a jar just using one hand? Doesn't work very good, does it? Doesn't work very good. It's better to have two hands working together. That's the way it was designed. Have you ever tried to avoid tripping just hopping around on one foot? There are some people who have been had an amputation of one leg and they have to learn how to function hopping around on one foot or learning to use a new appendage that's not connected to the nervous system. Can we claim to love Jesus if we are not reading Scripture on our own and dwelling on His words of life through the day? It may not be every day, but brothers and sisters, if you're depending on all of your spiritual information coming from me, you're going to be severely lacking. You have the blessing, the privilege of having Scripture. If you can't read, you have the privilege of listening to it. And we'll provide for you the means to listen to the Scripture. But spend time with God's Word. Feed your soul every day, not just when you come to listen to either me or somebody else. The body maintains and cares for the injured parts. The pain of an injury generally brings an immediate reaction of the rest of the body. Special attention is given to the wound, whether it be a stubbed toe, a cut on a hand, a punch in the face, whatever it may be. The rest of the body runs to the rescue. Special attention needs to be given to those who are hurting. How well do you know the rest of your church family? We recently did a new directory with pictures to place names with faces. I would encourage you, if you don't know the rest of the church family, it's time to get started. Start learning who the people are around you. Do you know everybody's name? Do you know their occupation? Do you know their family members? Do you know their joys? Do you know their pain, their sorrow, their hurts, their problems that they need support with? When visitors attend, we're glad to have visitors with us. But are you sitting in your comfort zone, ignoring them, or are you willing to stretch yourself and get out and meet new people? And again, we're glad to have visitors with us. We love you. Jesus loves you. That's the most important one. And we're learning how to love each other. Let's do a better job. How many more of your neighbors do you need to reach to with the message of Jesus? Do you need some help facing some neighbors? Maybe you need a brother or sister in the church family to go with you to visit some neighbors. Every one of you are important to Jesus. So much so that He did what? He died for you. And He conquered the grave for you. He paid for your sin. Every one of you who submitted to Jesus have been joined into His body, into the church. Every one of you who are in the church have been blessed with at least one, if not many, gifts, talents, abilities that came from where? From God, to be used for His glory. Just as we need Jesus Christ, we all need each other. We are members of one another. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that You love us so much. You have made us part of Your family. You have brought us in through the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. Jesus has paid for all of our sin. It's because of Jesus that we have hope. It's not because of our goodness. Our goodness is as rags before Your throne. Father, help us to love each other, to work with each other, to get involved with each other's lives more and more, and to function as Your healthy body, reaching out and living in righteousness so that the people around us can see it and desire to become part of Your body of goodness, of righteousness, and to receive the blessings of eternity through Jesus. Father, we thank You for each one who is here. Help us to express that thanks to each other more and more, and to find out how we can work together for the help and the nourishment of each other, as well as spreading the good news to the world around us. We thank you that your doors are open to all who would call upon Jesus. Help us to remember that the doors are open to all who will submit to Jesus. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.